Lord, thou alone art worthy. Help us to acknowledge thy worthiness in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. While this was going in heaven, on earth, if you look at the seven seals, the four horsemen rode out. And the first one was riding on the white horse, and he was clothed in white, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And his name is Jesus Christ. And you and I share in that conquest. But if you look at Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 8, where it comes from, you will find that it says that there, when the red horses went out, all the earth was still and was at rest. And only the church of God was troubled. The whole of the rest of the world sits quiet. And then there rode out the red horse, given a great sword, and was given to him that they should kill one another with death. And that is happening all over the world. Men are killing one another. And that is what's happening on earth. Peace has been removed, and the Church of God fights its troubled war as the nations of the earth kill one another. And then went out the black horse, and him who sat on him who carried the scales, and he touched the prices of the corn and the wine and the oil and the food that we eat. And that has had a disastrous effect on the world. We live in a world of ever-growing hunger, inflation and trouble. And then there went forth after him the pale horse, and him that sat on him was death, and death and Hades followed behind. Hengstenberg says that death and Hades are never separated in the New Testament from the wicked. You will find they're especially there in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Death and Hades are together, a place of torment and a place of second death. And there the pale horse goes, and millions die without hearing of Christ. Billions die without it. This is death and Hades riding forth, and there's destruction and famine and earthquakes and all the terrible things that are happening. These are death and Hades riding forth behind the pale horse. Now, what is happening in heaven? Because you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at this moment. You are above these things. You are in heaven. And there, the Lamb was seated on the throne. And before God, there was a book sealed with seven seals. And no one was found worthy to open the book. Only the Lamb was found worthy. Now, Napoleon said, no man is a hero to his valet. And that is the simple truth. Once Whitfield was asked what he knew about a man and what he thought about him. And he said, I don't know. I have never lived with him. A very wise answer. Never, never judge a man till you've lived with him. And then you will begin to understand what the person is like. So Jesus has living with him the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, the beasts, and myriad, 10,000 times 10,000 saints before him, and the great band of the angels. And with one voice, knowing him fully, they shout, thou art worthy, O Lord. Now this is the one in the whole world who's worthy. There is none other worthy. You see, when it came to opening the book, there was silence in heaven, while all stood back and felt unworthy. Yet these are the most worthy people the world ever had. These are the saints and martyrs of God. These are the prophets and the apostles. These are the church of the living God, which is built and founded on truth, the pillar and ground of the truth in the whole world. And these up in heaven regard themselves as unworthy, although they are worthy because they walk in white, the Bible says so, and yet they regard one only as worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. And that is our cry. Now, I want to ask you something. Why is he worthy? Is he worthy because of his excellence? Well, I'll tell you something. This word worthy is never used in Greek religious texts. The word found here is only found here in a religious text. It's a secular word, and it's only found used of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something very special about this worthiness. Do you know what Jesus said to the rich young ruler who came kneeling to him and called him good master? He said, there is none good but God. So then, in this worthiness is God, who is seated in the throne with God, the Lamb. Then get quit of all ideas of Jehovah's Witnesses and Arians and all the rest of them. Jesus is God. He is the only worthy one, for there is none good but God. So then you see him there in all his beauty and power. He's beautiful. Yes, he's beautiful from the sole of his head to the crown of his feet to the crown of his head. There's neither blemish nor anything wrong. He is the most beautiful of all creation. And when we see him, we shall fall before him and adore him and worship him and glorify him as God Almighty, the living Holy One. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Well now, there's only one thing we can cry, and that is this. Can you from your heart say, I believe that Jesus is the only worthy one on earth? I have laid aside my trust in politicians and armies. I have laid aside my trust in secular ways of putting things right. I have laid aside my trust in Christians and all else around me. One only I trust, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Now this is a wonderful cry. It's the cry of heaven, and it goes on and on and on. And one day you will join in it, and you will hear this vast multitude, so vast that it cannot be numbered or seen by the eye. You cannot touch the number that's there. You remember this. Every baby that dies in the world goes as another soul in that throng. Everyone who Jesus has marked as his own goes there. And over the centuries, myriads have gone there and are going. Thou art worthy. The broad road may be full, the straight gate may be narrow, but this is full, full. Heaven has everyone who ever ought to be there in it. And thou art worthy is the cry. Now, I think it's just a wonderful thing to have the Lord Jesus there and with his worth being proclaimed. Now, what I want to take with you is this. You cannot reach heaven. You haven't a hope of it unless you're going to be happy there. And you're not going to be happy there unless Jesus is the one object of your aim and ambition and hopes and fears, from when you lie down at night, get up in the morning, eat your food, walk round the streets, whatever you do, Jesus, Jesus only. And then he is worthy. Now, I want you to be like that. And I want you to go to heaven. But if you've got half a foot in our camp and half a foot in theirs, he will spew you out of his mouth. He will have nothing to do with you. He wants those who can truly say, daily, now, here, in their small way, in their heart, in this tiny, infinitesimal way, which doesn't show to other people, Thou art worthy, O Lord. So, there is heaven. Now, I notice this. You look at verse 2. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Well, not only is only one person in the world worthy, but this one is worthy because he opened a book. In other words, the purposes of God in this world. He opened them. He is the interpreter of all interpreters. He is the very image of the living God, who knows the mind of God, who has opened the purposes of God. Now you may say to me, Jesus said that he himself didn't know the hour of his own coming. As a man, he didn't. He laid aside his divinity and became in the form of a servant, in the likeness of men. He emptied himself. But I will tell you this, that Jesus is the end of the purposes of God. He is the Alpha, that's the first letter of the alphabet, to the Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He is the beginning and the end. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That Jehovah's Witnesses love that one. It's nothing to do with what they think. It means that he is everything at the beginning. By him all things were created, and by him all things subsist, exist. And he is the end. Therefore, all the purposes of God are bound up in Jesus. So he alone is worthy to open the book, because as he opens it, he reveals himself. Himself riding forth, conquering and to conquer. Himself sending forth the horsemen. Himself being King of heaven. Himself dying and rising again, all the victories of this world in Jesus, him. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. But give him every crown there ever was. He is the one who's done it. Now this wonderful, wonderful figure then is the one who explains to us the purposes of God. And that is why we cry, Thou art worthy, O Lord. I have no use for books on prophecy on the whole. I read them. Yes, I read them. I read some for preparing this. But I tell you this, I take my pick. And I take it good and hard, and I don't mind what I leave out, and I don't mind what I put in out of them. I don't believe a word of them. They don't know the future any more than I do. But I know one who does. Thou art worthy, because all the future belongs to him. Therefore he has opened the book and broken the seal and showed us the contents of the book, and it's come out and it's here before us. I think the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy because he alone is the one who explains the purposes of God. But I go further. Look at it. It says in verse 12, for thou wast slain. Now, I worship the blood. I worship the Lamb who was slain. I worship the one who was utterly gave his life. I am accused by those who don't like the atonement of not holding Horace Bushnell's ideas, of not holding the ideas of the Middle Ages on it, of the mousetrap theory and all the rest. I have one theory of the atonement, and they accuse me of being commercial in my statements. Well, the Bible is commercial when it talks about it, because it says, and has redeemed us. And that means bought us in a slave market. So then Jesus alone is worthy because he alone was slain. Now we're told in the next chapter that the martyrs under the altar cried with a loud voice. There are 10,000 times 10,000 martyrs, and they're being added to in thousands a year, many thousands. Do you know the church in China is at present being accused by the government of becoming so mighty and becoming so dominant that it will replace the Communist Party, and there is genuine talk and fear among the Communist communist officials that the church will replace them and will override every other religion and every other body in China because it is advancing at such a rate. And they're taking swift action and sure against the leaders of the church, locking them up and persecuting them terribly. Now, the fact is this, that you and I belong to the slain Lamb. And as we proclaim his blood and his resurrection and his advance to glory and his sitting at the right hand of God, we have there the atonement. And I hold no other atonement than that simple atonement. Jesus died for me. He is my personal substitute. Let all the theories of all the men through the ages go pop. They haven't understood the situation. One thing only I know, that Jesus was slain and has redeemed, brought me out of the slavery of sin. Now I want to ask you, to what extent has he brought your feet out of the slavery of sin? To what extent has he brought your limbs out of the slavery of sin? To what extent has he brought your mind out of the slavery of sin? Does your mind always think Jesus? Is it always full of holiness and thoughts of him? Or is it continually full of rubbish and nonsense? The truth of the matter is, thou alone art worthy. And it's him we worship because he was slain and because he's redeemed us. And I want you to notice something. People are saying in their theories of the atonement, and they say them ever louder and ever more in the ecumenical, which borders onto the interfaith movement, that everybody is redeemed. There is a universality. Well, I say to all the Socinians and to all the Arminians and to all the others, I hold limited atonement. I hold an atonement which says, thou hast brought us out of every nation and tongue and tribe and kindred and race. It's not the whole lot who are getting saved. So someone said even the devils in heaven are saved. In hell are saved. Well, let him go on with his theory. He'll find out when he joins them one day and when he has to live with them for eternity. But there is only one salvation, and it's personal. And each one of us has to accept to say personally, Jesus, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us, redeemed me from sin and slavery and Satan and the world and all that's there unto God. Now there's a purpose in Jesus' redemption, and that is to bring us to God. And until we're brought to God, the redemption isn't completed. This is a redemption that goes on in your life. He's brought us to God. Now, are you brought to God? Can you say to me, sir, I know I'm brought to God. I know that God and I have fellowship together. Can you say that? Until you can, you're not brought to God. He has brought us to God. Out of all these nations, the nations of the world will go their way and they'll go to their lost eternity. Faster and faster the way they're going. But we are out of the nations. Therefore, he is the Savior of all men, true, but specially of them that believe. God so loved the world, it is true, that whosoever believeth on him, so that it's only belief, it's only the special, it's only those who are chosen, the elect of God, who are saved. The others are not saved. And it's here plain and simple for all to read and see. And he said, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation. And I want to show you the result. He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Well, the reason we reign on the earth is we are now on the earth, and you are a king. How do I mean this? Well, as Jesus rides on that white horse through the nations of the world, ruling the nations with a rod of iron and breaking the hairy scalp of such an one as continues in his sin, and as he rides on his great white horse and the armies of heaven follow him, you are in those armies. You are sharing. You are enjoying. You are victorious. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have in Jesus faith. We ride forth with him, dressed in robes of white, conquering and to conquer. And no one can conquer us. No one at all. We never lose. He conquering and to conquer means every time there's a victory. Can you think of any place in your life where you feel there's not been a victory? Well, if you were in Jesus, it was a victory. How? I don't know. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain, not me. But you've never had a defeat yet. You're riding with the ever-victorious leader, the one who really is. General Gordon in China had to face the Boxer Uprising, and he was given the ever-victorious army. It was a scumbag of scoundrels who were filthy and dirty and utterly undisciplined and without any heart to them, and he made them into an actual army which won. And God has made us, who are just the same sort of people, into an ever-victorious army. And here we ride with him. I feel triumphant and happy and holy. Now, I reign a king. So do you. We're kings over all that's happening. You see, Elijah was a like man of like passions with us, and he prayed earnestly, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And again he prayed, and it rained. And we have power, it says, to shut up the heaven, that it may not rain. And we have power to bring storms and earthquakes and famines and lightning and thunder upon the earth. And all these things are happening for your and my reason. God says, I will give nations for thee and peoples for thy life. God will sacrifice 100 million people to save his elect. God will do it. He is worthy because he is ever conquering. And you are a king with him. You ride a king today. However small you are in the eyes of the world, say to yourself, like George the First had his mother always saying to him, George, be a king, George. Be a king. You act as a king. Walk as a king. Be the ruler of this world, not its minion. You don't, the time past will have survived, sufficed us to have done the will of the Gentiles. We do the will of him that is worthy. And then there's one more thing. We're priests. Don't ever take it because a man wears odd clothing like me that he's some form of a priest, or that a man, because he dresses himself up in some strange way and talks through his nose and lords it over you, as a priest of some sort. He's no priest at all. You're as much a priest as him, and more so, because he's made us kings and priests. You're a priest. You offer sacrifices to God. You offer the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips. You bring to God all those who come to him. You are the priest between God and men. You pray for men. You lead men to Christ. You want men to come. In your heart of hearts, however unsuccessful you are, you have a burning desire that others should know him, that I might know thee in the power of thy resurrection and the fellowship of thy sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now you see why we so much honour the Lamb, because he's worthy. He's worthy for all these reasons. And all I ask you is this: do you accept that you're a king and a priest and reign on the earth? And because you are, do you accept that your one cry in life is, he is worthy? Amen.